Hey, this morning I want to talk about something that has been kind of, I don't want to say eating on me, but it's been on me for probably the last month or so. And we had a Wednesday night lesson that kind of touched on it a little bit, but the Lord was telling me that said that you're not done with that message. And so I said, okay, when am I supposed to preach that message? He says, how about today? I'm like, okay. And so I don't know, a lot of us realize or maybe remember growing up that there was this prayer that we always said. Little kid, maybe it's something your mom and dad taught you at the beginning of when you were a little kid, sitting at the supper table. And we would say, God is good. God is great. Let us thank Him for our food. Amen. Anybody ever said that as a little kid? Anybody ever still say that? but I think, I believe that some part of the Christian world today, that's about the extent of what they still pray, as far as their thankfulness toward God. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verse 18, I believe this is in the New Living Translation, it says, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Him in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances." Well, gosh, am I supposed to be thankful because I'm sick? No. Am I supposed to be thankful because I'm struggling with some finances? No. Am I supposed to be thankful because I don't have any peace in my life right now? No. But we're to be thankful for the one who gives us that peace, thankful for the one who provides for our needs, thankful for the one who heals our body. Be thankful for that. Be thankful for His Word, that we can speak forth His Word, His promises, His will, which is His Word. We can speak those things forth, and they apply to our lives today. They apply to our bodies today. They apply to our minds today. They apply to our checkbooks today. And be thankful for those things. So even in the midst of a struggle, you can still be thankful. Father, you see my need here, but man, I thank you that you're the provider. Oh, I'm so thankful that you're the provider. I was reading a verse today, reading some verse actually before I came out here. And, you know, we're always wanting God to, we pray for God to give us or help us with or this or that. But He also says, well, if you love me, keep my commandments. So He's asking us for something. You know, God, we might be saying, God, give me, give me, give me. But He's saying, hey, Rick, I need you to fill in the blank. There's something I need you to do. But the title of my sermon here this morning is Be Thankful. Jesus, I thank you because fill in the blank. Before we came out here today, the people who serve in various capacities here on Sunday mornings, I shared a little bit about thankfulness back there. And before we left the room, I wanted them to say, Jesus, I'm thankful for, and fill in the blank. And, of course, I called on one person because I know that she's always ready, Miss Darlene. I called on her, and then after that, I just let the room go. Just let them I'm thankful for. And it was just like this, bang, bang, bang. They were so thankful for God. They were so thankful that He pulled them from the pit. They're so thankful that, you know, He redeemed them when they felt like they were unredeemable. Just so thankful for that. You know, I was looking at the word thankful, and it talks about expressing or feeling gratitude for something positive that has occurred, is occurring, or will occur. Isn't that Bible? Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can be thankful for what He did for us. We can be thankful for what He's doing for us, and we can be thankful that for what He will do for us. We can be thankful for who he was to us back then, who He is to us now, who He is to us in the future. We can be thankful at all times. It's what it says in 1 Thessalonians 5. Be thankful in all circumstances. Well, that's being thankful at all times. We need to develop an attitude of gratitude. We need to have a lifestyle of thankfulness. Ooh, brother can't get an amen preaching like that. But one thing that I make a conscious note of, and I don't go around telling everybody that I do this all the time. But one thing I make a conscious note of with the people here at the church who serve here at the church, who are members here at the church, is how thankful and appreciative I am of them. And I'll say names. Now this morning I might have called somebody out as they walked in, but I'll say names. But you're probably going to hear me saying these things from now on. How I appreciate what you're doing, how thankful I am for what you're doing. But thanks, it should never be a habit. I don't want it ever to be a habit, something that I just do, kind of like we somebody opens the door for us, you say, thanks. You didn't really mean it. It's just a habit. It's just a reflex, something that comes out a lot of times. Maybe you do mean it. But I don't want it to be a habit for me here. Now, we had Willard's visitation and funeral. It was the last couple of days here. Had a tremendous outpouring of support at both the visitation and the funeral. But I didn't, this other thing that I want to say, I didn't run this by this person, and I know they love me, so they won't get mad at me. We'll see. But Miss Darlene, the church up there had asked, the Baptist church supplied the soup and the sandwiches, but they had asked that we supply desserts and salads and things like that. And when I hear that Darlene is going to be a part of that, I just check out. I don't even think about it anymore. I'm not concerned about it because I know it's going to get done. But you know what? Even in that, she can't do it by herself. There was many women, and maybe there were a few guys too. I don't know. I only saw women dropping off the food. But she can't do it by herself. And so I know that I am so thankful for her and what she does, and then the other ones that join right in with her to make things happen, that, you know, I'm appreciative of that. And I want people to know that publicly. But it will never be something that is just, I just do it because, oh, well, thanks. I'm glad you did that. No, I really mean it. I'm glad that you stepped up. I'm glad that you stepped forward. Because you know what? That's ministry. The people who serve in this church, I don't call you volunteers. I call you ministers. Because you're ministering to the need of people. Whether it's through food, whether it's through a word, whether it's through a smile, whether it's through a handshake, you're ministering to other people. And I'm thankful for that. We have to have an attitude of thankfulness. We need to walk around that way. It says, be thankful in all circumstances. Well, that means be thankful all the time. So that means having a lifestyle of thankfulness. Instead of a lifestyle, I mean, I'm only talking about me because I know you don't want me to talk about you. I've had times where I grumble and I complain about things. Why don't they do? How about I just be thankful that they're doing something? You know? I've never complained about anybody in this place here, just so you know. Matter of fact, when people ask me about Life Point Church, I said, man, I got the greatest people there. I got people that love God, people that love each other, and people that just love to serve, people who love the minister. That's what I say about the people at Life Point Church, just so you know. Now, am I saying that because I don't want you to talk bad about me? No, that is what I say about the people of Life Point Church, and that's what I believe about the people of Life Point Church. But we're going to go into two different passages here, and there's going to be a common thread in these passages that we're going to read. Now there are benefits to being a believer. Just so you know, there's benefits to being a believer. And we're going to look at Psalm chapter 103. It's going to talk about a little bit about that benefit. Before we get into the two passages I'm going to talk about later, my key passages. But in Psalm 103, we're going to look at this. And, you know, we're going to be made aware of some things in here that we should be thankful for. Matter of fact, when I read these things, somebody ought to shout hallelujah. I don't know who it'll be, but somebody ought to. Because I know some people have been brought through. Well, I know all of you have been brought through these things here. Psalm 103, verse 1, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Does that sound like thankfulness? Does that sound like gratitude? Does that sound like your mind and your focus is turned toward God? It does to me. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who, as a believer, he has benefits for you. Now, is it our goal just to constantly be seeking the benefits? I want to build my bank account. Is it our goal to always seek the benefits? Man, it starts out here, bless the Lord. Praise God. Thank God for who He is. And thank God that He wants to bless us with benefits. So, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, all your sin. Oh, are we thankful that He forgives our sin? Are you thankful that He forgave your sin? Are you thankful? I mean, I know some people in this place here that's got a story to tell. They got a story to tell that probably they won't tell the whole story because the statute of limitations probably hasn't ran out yet. Are you thankful that He delivered you from that? Whoo! Who forgives all your iniquities and who heals all of your diseases. Does that sound like that's a statement of fact? That's a matter of fact? He forgives you your sins and He heals you of all your diseases. Anybody thankful for that? Anybody ever been delivered from anything physically? I have. Anybody being delivered? You know, the Bible talks about you lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Sometimes it's a process. There's other times in the Bible it shows that it was immediate. Who forgives all of your iniquities and heals all of your diseases. Be thankful in all circumstances. What I'm trying to do here today, just like we made all this shifting here today, and I love it, and we'll work on the other three that are back there. Anyway, I'm just joking. There we go. One of them responded right away. Okay. but just like we made this shift here, my goal this morning is to get us to shift our mentality from always being focused on me, Jimmy, gimme, on, man, I'm just thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful that He has benefits for me. That I can walk in divine health, that I can walk in prosperity, that I can walk in peace, I can walk in joy. He's got all these different promises for me. I'm so thankful for those, but man, I'm just thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful that He's good. You are good, good, so good. Yeah, I'm just thankful that He's good. Luke chapter 17. This is one of the verses that I wanted to get into that I'm saying that there's going to be a common thread. Luke chapter 17, we're going to start with verse 11. And it says, now on His way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As He was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met Him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. Well, I looked up the word pity because we don't use that word much other than we just feel sorry for somebody. But what they were saying was, have compassion on us, for we are in distress. If you had leprosy, you were separated from everything and everyone, except other lepers. You notice they said here, they called from a distance. They couldn't be close to somebody who was clean. But then when you think about pity, Pity it requires a response also. It says, pity is often accompanied by a desire to help alleviate suffering. So they're saying, Jesus, have pity on us. We're in distress. Have compassion on us. And Jesus is going to say here, I have compassion on you. I want to relieve you of your distress. Verse 14, when He saw them, He said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. As they took Jesus at His word, faith in action, believing what He said, as they went, they were healed. Leprosy was gone. Verse 15. But one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. Thank you, God. Thank you that as I obeyed you, thank you that I am clean. I've lived a life for so long, separate from everyone and everything. I thank you that I am clean. I thank you that you are a good God. I thank you that you saw me. I thank you that you heard my voice. I thank you that you saw me in my distress, and it was your desire to have compassion upon me and heal me. I thank you for that. Amen. And then he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving thanks to him. Jesus, I thank you that you saw me. I thank you that you spoke to me. I thank you that I am healed by your words. I thank you that you've restored me back to my family. I thank you that you've restored me back to my children. I'm so thankful that you have words that bring life. I'm so thankful that you have words that speak down into my heart and into my spirit. And Father, I'm just so thankful that you have given me a wife. You've given me kids. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? I believe not that Jesus needs, but I think it's important for us to be thankful. 9, they all got healed. They all went on their way, had to show themselves to the priest. They were all cleansed. But man, one of them realized, this man, Jesus, saw me. He heard me. And he spoke into my life. I need to express my gratitude. I need to express my thankfulness. What has he brought you through? Do you feel a need to express gratitude, a need to express thankfulness? Were there not, but where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? There's not going to be any rocks crying out for me. He'll hear my voice of gratitude. He'll hear my voice of thankfulness. And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. When Jesus moved on his behalf, he was very thankful. To the point where he ran back with a loud voice praising God. This world should see Christians running around nuts all the time, with their voices raised loudly, speaking loudly, praising God. Well, you just run people off. They think Christians are nuts. They already think you're nuts. They'd see your car out in the parking lot. They know you're here. Jesus relieved this man's distress and the others. But this man was thankful. If he's relieved you of some sort of distress, if he's relieved you of some sort of anxiety of whatever it may be, we should be thankful. Our voices should be lifted to him. We should live with an attitude of gratitude, a lifestyle of thankfulness. Instead, there are benefits. We talked about one here this morning. You know, in Malachi 3, talks about how people are robbing God. Well, how are you robbing God? He says, because you're not bringing your tithes and offerings. Oh, but that's Old Testament. Yeah, in the New Testament, it doesn't specifically mention the word tithe. But where did the tithe start? It started before the law. Abraham, Melchizedek. It started way back then. No, at no place did he ever tell us to stop. So we get over to Malachi, and he says, test me. Bring your tithes and offerings and test me and see if I won't open up in the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you so much that you can't contain it. So if it's so much that I can't contain it, that means I'm filled to the top, to the full, and everything else is going to pour over. Well, the pour over is for you guys. So when Rick gets pour over, somebody will get some of my pour over. I've called, now it's been granted younger kids, sometimes I think, well, never mind. I'll open up my wallet, and I'll look in here, I'll see how much I got, see how much Carrie's given me, and I'll look in here. Oh, so right here, here's $40 right here. Okay, well, I'm going to give these two people right here $20 apiece. There we go. Now, Rick handed them $20, but Rick handed them the $20 by the unction of the Holy Spirit. It may seem like, because that wasn't in my notes, just so you know, to do that, just came, he's like, go do it. Oh, okay. Well, by me doing that, what's going to happen? I'm so thankful to God because he's going to give me even more so I can do more of that. Whoo! Now, those are benefits, but I'm just thankful that he's my provider. And I got to express that. I need to express that. Like I said, just like in the natural, you know, we're thankful towards someone. You go to the drive-up window and they give you your whatever it is, your McNugget or whatever you get at the drive-up. You say, okay, thanks, and you drive away. I don't know if we mean it or not, especially for a McNugget. Anyway, moving on. But, you know, we have to have that attitude of gratitude. You know, I was I'll say this. I was at work at the prison when I worked at the prison. This here is much harder than that. But I've got God and I'm thankful for God. Anyway, but I would get back from a court writ or a medical furlough, taking a guy to Chicago or who knows where. And I go into the office for the shift commander, and it might be 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I would ask him, okay, what's the next assignment? What else do you want me to do? And he would ask me, say, do you want to go home? I'm like, oh, I'll go home early. I said, what kind of benefit time do you want me to use? Vacation time, you know, holiday time, whatever it may be. And he asked me, he says, that's not what I asked you. He said, do you want to go home? Oh. So what did Rick do? He walked out of his office and walked straight out the front door and went home and didn't have to use any of my benefit time at all. My benefit time, when I retired, you can cash all that in. I think I cashed in about $25,000 worth of benefit time. But anyway, just don't take time off work, people. Go to work, and it adds up. But I was thankful for that. And I was pretty thankful for that toward him because he was a good guy. But a lot of times guys would just say, oh, okay, and just go home. And they weren't, okay, thanks, but really didn't mean anything by it. But I developed an attitude of gratitude even to the people that I worked around, the people that I was around. I always treat everybody like they're somebody because they are. Everybody has value. Everybody has something to offer. Everybody has a supply to bring to the table. I don't care who you are. And I'm thankful to God for that. I'm thankful for the people in this church because everybody in this church, I believe, has a supply, a divine supply, and you're here by a divine appointment to supply what is needed in this place to the people who come to this place. I need every once in a while, as I walked out here this morning, I'm back in my office and I'm sitting there, I'm thinking about some things, and I look at the computer and it says 9:59. Ooh, I got to be out there in 60 seconds. And so I come running down the hallway there and I see Dave Bowen standing back there at the by the coffee bar, and he's giving me that youth group kid shuffle. You got to get in there. It's time to get in there. That made me laugh. I needed that before I came in here. You know, I'm thankful that I have people out there that I can. Yeah, he's giving me that symbol. He's the symbol now he's giving me. Cut it short. No. But, you know, I needed that when I was coming up. I need to laugh. I need to feel like this is a family, and I'm thankful to God that it is a family. Having an attitude of thankfulness for the little things. Sometimes we just shuffle the little things off to the side, but man, we need to have an attitude of thankfulness for the little things even. attitude. Now, when you hear the word attitude, what do you usually think? Man, she got attitude. Negative. You kind of think of the negative. But when I was looking at the word attitude, I really like what it said in these first five words here. A settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something, typically one that is reflected in a person's behavior. A settled way of thinking. We need to have a settled way of thinking that we're going to have an attitude of gratitude. We're going to be thankful. We're going to be thankful. We're going to be thankful. I'm going to be thankful. My life is going to be a life filled with thankfulness. Anybody with me on that, though? I hope so. I hope I'm getting this across. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to make this really easy. It's kind of hard to do it in a setting like this, but I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to make it really easy. I want you to say this with me out loud. Now, the title of my sermon, Jesus, I thank you because, and there's a fill in the blank. I want you to say with me out loud, Jesus, I thank you because. And if you want to say what you fill in the blank out loud, say that out loud too. But if you want to keep it within yourself, keep it within yourself. It doesn't matter. We just need to have an attitude of thankfulness toward Jesus. We need to be thinking about Him and His goodness. Say it with me. Jesus, I'm thankful. Thank you because. Okay, now we're going to get in unison here. Jesus, I thank you because. Jesus, I thank you because. I thank him because of his word. But there's a portion of his word, and I shared this here a few Wednesday nights ago, but it still applies today. I thank you for his, thank you, Jesus, for your word, because you said in Proverbs 18, the man who finds a wife finds a treasure and receives favor from the Lord. I benefit from that flowing. I'm thankful for Carrie because she completes some things in me. She's a very detail-oriented person. I kind of am too, but she's even more so. She asks the questions that I won't ask. I'll figure it out. But no, she'll ask the question. But she completes things in me. And that's why God has us together. I believe when we first were talking about marriage within our family, it was frowned upon by certain individuals in my family. They're like, no. They wanted me to go on to college. I went to a two-year college. And at the end of two-year college, I was sick of school. Didn't want to do it anymore. They were willing to send me anywhere in the country to go to school. I'm not saying school is bad. If you're in school, be cool, stay in school. If you're going to be a doctor, I want you to be in school, just so you know. But I didn't want to. And so Carrie and I, we got married. And it's been something where I was working a job one time and I was driving down the road and had this big old truck and the motor blew up in it. And that's back when we didn't have cell phones. Maybe there were cell phones. I stopped at a payphone called Collect and talked to her. And as soon as I got on the phone, I said, I'm done. I quit. I'm not doing this anymore. It's going to cost too much money to get this thing repaired. I'm finished. And she's like, okay, what happened? I don't want you to talk softly to me. What happened? So I told her what happened. She goes, okay, let's get it fixed. And then I continued to do that job for a lot longer, and we moved on. But she completes some things in me. Whereas I can be, she can be, okay, all right, what do we need to do? And we get it done. So she completes some things. So I'm thankful, Jesus, because you gave me a wife. You gave me a treasure. I tell my kids, and I've told them for a long time, and I see a lot of these qualities that Carrie has in my girls also. And I told them one time, I said, if you want to know what it's like to be an excellent wife and to be a good mother, I said, look at your mom. Imitate your mom. listen to what she says, do what she does. And I see my girls to this day raising their girls and my grandson the same exact way that Carrie raised them. Carrie was the one who led all of our kids to the Lord. It wasn't me. I was on the road working all the time. I was gone minimum 12 hours a day for years. She was the one that was right there with them, sharing Jesus with them. But to this day, we still walk, we look for opportunities to speak Jesus into our grandkids' lives. And I've shared it before. One time Charlie was picking up a chair to move it from one place to the next. And I said, "You need help with that, Charlie?" And she goes, "No, Jesus gives me the strength to do that." Okay. We look for opportunities to have teachable moments with our grandkids and still with our kids. And they'll be 38 and 40 this year. But I'm thankful to Jesus for her wife, for a wife that completes me. A treasure that he placed in my life. Guys, if you're married, that verse ought to be etched in your heart, etched in your mind. Luke chapter 18. And we're going to look at verse 35. Now, we just read the one passage here where the 10 lepers and one came back and he was so thankful. He threw himself at the feet of Jesus. He praised God. He was thankful. Luke chapter 18, starting with verse 35. It says, "As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind beggar was sitting beside the road. When he heard the noise of the crowd going past, he asked what was happening. They told him that Jesus of the Nazarene was going by. So he began shouting, 'Jesus, Son of David!'" This is how you should read the Bible. When he says shout, you should shout when you're reading the Bible. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," the people in front yelled at him, but he only shouted louder. "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and ordered that the man be brought to him. As the man came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord," he said, "I want to see." There's an exclamation point there. "I want to see." And Jesus said, "All right, receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God. Do you think that he was thankful? Do you think that he had an attitude of gratitude? He'd been blind all these years. He wanted to see, and Jesus said, "Your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus, praising God. And all who saw it praised God too, or also. You know, in these two passages, we see that Jesus heard their voices, heard the voices of the lepers, heard the voices of the blind man, and he had compassion on them. He had a desire to alleviate their distress. Jesus is still full of compassion today. Man, if you're going through something, he desires to alleviate your distress. And our response should be thankfulness. Because he can't lie. If he said he'll do it in his word, he'll do it in his what he said. God is not a man that he should lie. Numbers 23:19. Has he said, and will he not do it? Has he spoken, and has he not made it good? We got all kinds of examples in the Bible, all kinds of accounts in the Bible where Jesus was true to his word. He's still true to his word today. And we can be thankful that we can go to his word and say, "God, you said," that's what I do. If I am going to him, asking him about something, I always say, "God, you said. Jesus, you said." Remind him of his word. And that's okay. He doesn't mind being reminded of his word. His feelings won't get hurt. But we need to have an attitude of thankfulness. You know, when we're in need of confidence, the Bible talks about Paul, the Apostle Paul. He's wanting people to pray for him to speak boldly as he ought to speak. He wanted to be able to speak more boldly than what he was. He's needing confidence. If you're in need of finances, finances. His word speaks to finances, and we should be thankful. Medical needs, his word speaks to medical needs, and we should be thankful. You know, any emotional needs, his word speaks to emotional needs, talks about peace, and we should be thankful. Whatever the Bible says, we should take what it says, take it to heart because it's meant for us today, and be thankful because he's still true to his word. What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to get across to us today, and it's still working on me, that I need to have a lifestyle of being thankful. Just being thankful for who God is. We were looking back there this morning at Psalm 100. I brought this piece of paper out with me. And in verse, it's not very many verses. We got till 4 o'clock. We'll be all right. Because we're all going tonight, right? Loading up in the van, and we're going, okay. But it's Psalm 100, verse 1. It says, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Huh. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Why? Here's why. Verse 5. For he's good. He didn't ask him for anything. We're just praising him because he's good. He's a good God. He loves us. I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. I read the Bible like I'm reading out of the book of John. I praise him because he's good. Why? Because he's good. His unfailing love continues forever. He's good and he loves me. And I'm thankful for that. And his faithfulness continues. Wasn't just for them back then. His faithfulness continues to each generation. So if he was faithful to them, he's faithful to us. He'll be faithful to the next generation. And we should be thankful. He's good. Anybody thankful just because he's good? There's no evil in him. He's not trying to harm us in any kind of way. He's good. He's here to comfort us. His thoughts are always toward us. I was writing in here, I was writing to myself, really, but I'll share it with you. He's telling me that I'm the head, not the tail. So I thank Jesus for your word. And in his word, in Deuteronomy 28, it talks about that. It says, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you will be above only. And you will not be beneath. If you listen and pay attention to the commandments of the Lord your God. If we listen and pay attention to the commandments of the Lord our God, we'll always be on top. Are you thankful? That if we pay attention to what the Word of God is saying and we act upon the Word of God, we'll always come out on top. Man, I'm thankful for that. Once again, speaking to myself, you're a victor. You're not a victim. I don't have a victim mentality. I have a can-do mentality. Why do I have a can-do mentality? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm thankful. Now, there are some things that I like somebody else who has a can-do mentality too. If we're messing with electricity around here, I like it that Dave Bowen has a can-do mentality. Because I'm not grabbing these wires and doing, yeah. We'll let him have that can-do. But I thank Jesus that I'm a victor, not a victim. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory or always causes us to triumph. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm thankful. I'm thankful. I always have the victory. These are things he's speaking about us. In Romans 8:37, it says, yet in all things we are more than conquerors. And this is a New Living Translation, or Amplified, I mean. And gain overwhelming victory through him who loved us so much that he died for us. Did you hear that? We're more than conquerors and gain overwhelming victory through him who loved us. Through him. It's through him. But man, I'm thankful. I conquer in every situation. I win all the time. I can't lose. Pastor Hagin says, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. Why can't he be defeated? Because he believes what it says right here, and he's thankful to God for that, and I am also. In 1 John 4:4, it says, little children, believers, dear ones, you are of God and you belong to him and have already overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist, because he who is in you is greater than he, Satan, who is in the world. You have the greater one living on the inside of you. No matter what comes your way, you can tap into the greater one that lives on the inside of you. You can tap into that Holy Spirit who says, I'll lead and guide you into all truth. You can tap into that Holy Spirit that says, I'm only going to speak things I hear from the throne room of God. And so when you tap into it, I'm going to say things that came straight from the throne room of God. And I'm going to show you what's coming. I'm going to show you things to come. I'm going to show you what you need to do. Man, can you be thankful for somebody like that? Man, I can be. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens and empowers me to fulfill his purpose. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses me with the inner strength and confidence and peace. Boy, I like the Amplified Version on that one. They talk a lot in that Bible, but I like that version. And I'm thankful for that. There's nothing through him that I can't do. Philippians 4:19, and my God will. I believe it's King James, said, my God shall. And if you look up the word shall also, a synonym, I guess you would say, that goes along with it is the word must. So if you read it that way, and my God must liberally supply. Now, if we want to put this into context, the verses before that, the Philippian church were the only ones that were helping to supply the need of Paul. And so Paul is speaking to the Philippian people here, and it says, and my God must supply your need because you gave and helped to meet my need. These words that I'm reading here should trigger in you thoughts of thankfulness, but it also should stir your faith to know that you're more than a conqueror. You're not a victim. I don't care what anybody else has ever told you. You're above, you're not beneath. I don't care what anybody else has told you. And why can we believe that? Why should we latch on to that? Because God said so. Anybody ever told your kid that? Well, why can't I do that? Because I said so. Usually it's because you're not doing that. No, God's saying, no, you're a victor, not a victim, because I said so. You're above and not beneath because I said so. Do all things through Christ who strengthens you because I said so. And we should be thankful for that. Whew, I'm going to have to land this plane. We may go another week on this. You know what? We may go another week on this. We'll see what the Lord does here. But just meditate on the word being thankful. Meditate on the word thankfulness. And when you encounter various situations throughout this week where you know that it's the hand of God moving in your life, stop and take a minute and say, man, thank you, God. Or even if you're not going through something, just stop and take a minute and say, thank you, Jesus. We say that all the time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And in the Christian world, sometimes I think it's just become a habit, something we do. But I mean, stop and think about that. Thank you, Jesus. For being good. You've done so much for us, but thank you for being good. Father, I just thank you for this time that we've had here this morning. Father, we do acknowledge your goodness here this morning. And Father, to live a lifestyle of thankfulness, Father, not only is it something as we read here about the leper who came back and he was so thankful for what you had done in his life, but Father, just to have an attitude of a settled way of thinking thankfulness and that you're good, just let that be a lifestyle that we grab onto. Father, I thank you for the goodness in my life. I thank you for the good things that you've done in my life. I thank you for the wife and the kids that you've given me and the blessing that they are to my life, the encouragement that they are to my life. I thank you for that. But I thank you that you loved me enough to have that plan and purpose for me. It was designed for me from the beginning. So Father, as we leave this place here today, I've said it many times that we don't leave you here. Your Holy Spirit does go with us, leading and guiding us into all truth, speaking things from your throne and showing us things to come. And Father, I ask this week here that as we're just going about our week, that your Holy Spirit reminds us to have that attitude of thankfulness. Being thankful in all things. Father, your word says to count it all joy when we encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience, and let patience have its perfect works, so that we may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Not that we take joy in the circumstance that comes against us, but Father, we take joy in knowing that you're the deliverer. We are so thankful that you're the deliverer. So Father, we're going to leave this place here. We're going to go about our business throughout the rest of the day. Might even go to a restaurant for lunch. When the waiter comes to us or waitress comes to us and they take our order, Father, when we say thank you, help us to look at that person as somebody special. And when we say thank you, let it be sincere. Let it be heartfelt. We know that it's pleasing to you.